I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views.
Parallax is you observe an object, you see a change, but that change is not really a change in the object, but just a change in how you relate to the object in your perspective of the object.
Welcome to the testing room of the Parallax Corporation's Division of Human Engineering.
Now please cross the chair. And you will sit down. Make yourself comfortable. And be sure to place each one of your hands on the box on either side of the chair. Making sure that each one of your fingers is on one of the white rectangles. Just sit back. Nothing is required of you except to observe the materials that are presented to you. Be sure to keep your fingers on the box at all times. Alright? Hope you find the test a pleasant experience.
Reality Winner leaked a secret report on Russian election hacking to the media and will now serve more than 5 years in prison. That's the longest sentence ever imposed for this kind of violation. The former NSA contractor and Air Force linguist has been held in a Georgia jail since last June and is currently awaiting transfer to a federal prison after her sentencing last week. The document Winner leaked to The Intercept was the first time the public learned that the Russian government tried to infiltrate state election systems in 2016.
On this edition of Parallax Views, we will be hearing a chilling story of the federal government's war on whistleblowers. From Chelsea Manning to Edward Snowden to John Carreyrou, the persecution of whistleblowers seeking to shed a much-needed light on corruption has been ramping up for over a decade. And the latest example of that in the Trump era is that of Reality Lee Winner, a former NSA contractor from Augusta, Georgia, who leaked classified information dealing with the claims of Russian collusion in the 2016 presidential election. Joining us to discuss this case is Reality's mother, Billy Winner Davis. Now, folks, the conversation you're about to hear gets very emotional. And I'd like to thank Billy Winner Davis for even coming on the show. I'm sure Reality's ordeal has been trying on her, everyone in Reality's family, and, of course, Reality herself. As such, I'd really like to thank Billy Winner Davis being so forthright and open. I can't thank her enough. And I think listening to Billy Winner Davis, this case, the ordeal that Reality Lee Winner has been put through, is going to make your blood boil. It certainly did mine. And with that, I want to get straight to the conversation with Reality Winner's mother, Billy Winner Davis. Welcome to Parallax Views, Billy Winner Davis.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
I wanted to have you on the show because your daughter, Reality Winner, has been very much just attacked in this miscarriage of justice for leaking documents involving, Trump-Russia collusion. And she is now serving time in prison for that, for blowing the whistle. But before we get into the details of that, who is Reality Winner, your daughter?
So Reality is, she's 27 years old at this point. Reality was born and raised in South Texas. She joined the Air Force right out of high school and she served in the Air Force for 6 years. She was a cryptolinguist with the Air Force, and so she's fluent in Farsi, Dari, and Pashto. And so she worked in intelligence with the Air Force, and actually worked at the NSA at Fort Meade in Maryland, and she was also deployed to the NSA in Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia. She helped in the Air Force identify targets, and she worked with the drone program. So, and she's also, for those of you who have been following, Reality is an avid athlete. She volunteered with Athletes Serving Athletes, where she ran half marathons and she ran 10 milers, pushing disabled kids. And she's also volunteered with other organizations, veterans organizations. She also fostered animals when she lived in Augusta, Georgia. She worked with the Samaritan's Purse as well, sending shoeboxes for children across the world for Christmas. Reality is also, she's an avid CrossFit person. Yeah. She's a weightlifter. She is also a certified yoga instructor and a spinning instructor. So Reality is a lot of things.
How does this this all happen with you know, her getting basically visited by the FBI? What happened that led to all of this chaos?
Well, Reality was discharged honorably from the Air Force in December of 2016. And then she was hired on with a contract agency there in Augusta, Georgia, where she served as like a linguist in the NSA there at Fort Gordon. And this was around the time, the spring of 2017, when it was after, you know, Trump had taken office. And basically, our administration and our government was trying to deny that there was any kind of election interference by the Russians, which, you know, there was information that was out there, you know, that indicated that the Russians had interfered in our election in several ways. But our administration was really trying to deny that this happened. They were trying to cover it up. And at this point, you know, Reality and her work with the NSA came across a document basically that was a compilation of information by our intelligence agencies with regard to the Russians, their attempts to hack into our voting systems in several states. And so Reality came across this document, and she basically, I think she had had enough. She had had enough of hearing that our government was saying that this didn't happen. And so she printed this document, and she mailed it to an online news outlet, The Intercept. And it didn't take them long. Once The Intercept received this this document, they contacted, of course, the FBI and the NSA, and they needed to know if this document that they had was legitimate. And so it didn't take long from there for the NSA and the FBI to kind of backtrack to see who had access to this document, who had printed this document, and it led them straight to Reality.
I'm just curious. I don't know if your daughter has spoken to you about it, or maybe other journalists. What was her experience with the FBI? Was there any sort of attempts at intimidation? I know some journalists have said that they feel that Reality was sort of intimidated by the investigators when they gave her a visit.
Right. I definitely think that she was. I mean, she was powerless within that situation. It was on June 3rd. It was a Saturday, June 3rd, 2017. It was a Saturday. Reality had just returned home from grocery shopping, and she was followed up into her driveway and basically surrounded by FBI agents. Two of them approached her, introduced themselves to her. Basically, she wasn't given an option to say no. She was asked if she wanted to talk there at her home or if she wanted to go down to the FBI headquarters there in Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia. And from there, basically, there were 11 FBI agents, all male, that entered her home that day. Her home was very, very small. The FBI agents asked her if there was someplace that they could go that was kind of out of the way, away from it all. And Reality told them that she had a back room of the house that was empty. She told them that she found that room to be creepy. She didn't go in that room. There was nothing in that room. And basically, they kind of coaxed her to go into that room. And two of the agents basically kept her in that room and interrogated her in that room, while the other FBI agents did a complete search of her home and her vehicle. When they approached her at her home, they, of course, took her car keys. They told her they had search warrants for her home, her vehicle, and herself. They took her car keys from her. They took her cell phone from her. So basically, she was just stuck. She had no options at that point. And so she was basically within their total control at all times.
Yeah, and I'd imagine that's a very, you know, scary experience. It's very high tension.
Yes, it is. And I don't know if you're familiar, but a producer actually developed a play based on Reality's interrogation by the FBI. She took the entire transcript, and they did a play. It's called Is This a Room? And it was performed in New York the first week of January. And my husband and I traveled up to New York to attend the play, to attend the opening of the play. And it was extremely powerful. I mean, it showed you just how out of control and powerless Reality was during that interrogation by the FBI. So if anybody gets the chance to look up that play, to look, they are looking at expanding it and taking it to other venues across the United States. It was such an experience for us to witness, to watch this as it unfolded. And they did not change the transcript in any way. They just went word for word with that interrogation transcript.
So Reality leaks this report from the NSA about possible Russian interference in the election. The FBI pays her a visit. What happens from there? What is she eventually charged with?
She was she was arrested on that day because she did come to admit. She admitted to printing out the document and mailing it to The Intercept. So she was arrested that day on June 3rd, 2017. And they charged her with the unlawful disclosure of national defense information, which is a charge under the Espionage Act of 1917. So basically, they charged her under the Espionage Act as a spy and a traitor.
Well, yeah, I want to sort of tackle that because I certainly don't get the impression that Reality is a spy or a traitor. What led her to release these documents to the public?
I mean, basically, she saw that here was information that our country, our election, was under attack by an enemy, Russia. And she just felt like the public had a right to know this. I mean, basically what she said to the FBI that day was, why wasn't this out there? Why couldn't this be released? And I think she just felt at that point, you know, such frustration that she felt like if no one else was going to release this to America, that she needed to do it. You know, that we had the right to know. That we, I mean, how do we protect ourselves if we don't know, you know, that we're under attack? And she just felt like she needed to get this out there.
Well, yeah, and I think that's an interesting thread to go on. Everything I have heard about Reality from other journalists is that she's a very conscientious person. She cares about matters like politics. I know some people have tried to attack Reality over that, saying that she was never a fan of Trump. And I'm like, but that's not the issue. The issue is she found these documents. And she felt the need to tell the public about them. I don't care whether she's a fan of Trump or not. She was doing this in good conscience.
Absolutely right. And I mean, and her, the leak, the documents that she leaked, you know, really didn't have anything to do with Trump. They weren't saying that Trump did this. They were saying that we were under attack by Russia, you know? And so, you know, yes, she wasn't a fan of Trump, but her documents were not about Trump. They were more about the fact that Russia had attempted to hack into our voting systems. And she felt strongly that America needed to know this. And she felt strongly that our government, our White House, our government needed to stop denying this so that the American people would know that we were under attack. You know, it happened. It happened. You know, and even now, just more recently, again, you're hearing that our government is telling us that it didn't happen. They're trying to deny it again.
Well, speaking of denying things, I've also read that Reality was not actually read her Miranda rights before being interrogated by the FBI. Can you confirm that and speak to that a little bit?
Yes, that is true. They never Mirandized her. They never, you know, told her that she had the right to call anyone, an attorney. They never told her she had the right to remain silent. And when we watched the play, we saw it unfold to where she wasn't given an option. I mean, they were basically there. They told her that she could speak to them at her home or she could speak to them at the office. And they never gave her the option to say no. They never gave her the option to call anyone. They took away her cell phone. They took away her car keys. She had no way to call anyone. She had no way to go anywhere. And her attorneys did file for a suppression. They filed a motion to suppress her confession because they said she was not Mirandized. And she said that they said that her rights were violated. And there was a hearing on that. And, you know, her attorneys spelled out the fact that from the moment that the FBI entered her home and took away her cell phone and took away her keys, she was in their custody. And they should have read her Miranda rights, but they never did that. And so they argue that everything that Reality told the FBI that day should have been suppressed and thrown out. But unfortunately, the court in Reality's case, the judge never ruled on that. To this day, if you go into her court file, on the PACER system, you will see that the court never, ever ruled on that motion. And when you see everything else in her court case, you see just how biased the court was against Reality. They denied her bond. She was kept in a county jail the entire time. She was not even given an option to post bond. They just denied her all bond. The court denied every ruling, or they ruled against her at every point in her case. They denied her team access to information. Her team had requested subpoenas, and the court ruled against them. So they were not even able to subpoena witnesses and experts and information that they needed to defend her. And then with regard to this motion to suppress this information because her rights had been violated, the court never ruled on it. And so at every turn, just Reality was beaten down by the court, denied any type of access to defend herself. And so it ended up where she pled guilty.
She originally pled not guilty and was denied bail, correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. And I mean, basically, to this day, I still feel like Reality was not guilty of the charge that they charged her with. She was not guilty of espionage. You know, Reality may have violated a law. She may have released a document that she wasn't supposed to release. But the thing is that she wasn't guilty of espionage.
Well, you know, the other thing that I have heard is that, you know, the prosecutors in the case, one of their ways of really being an attack dog with this was to say that she was, I guess, involved in possibly leaking other classified information, or she might try to, you know, leave the country if she's given bail. How would you respond to that? It seems like nonsense.
It was total nonsense. What the prosecution did was they took like facts about reality or things that they found in her home, and they used them to paint this picture of reality that was so far from the truth. Such as, okay, so in the military, reality was trained to speak Pashto, Farsi, and Dari. Okay. The prosecution said that this made her it possible for her to go and live in another country, even though reality had never been to any other countries except for Belize. You know, she took a 3-day Memorial Day trip to Belize once she was out of the Air Force, but they took that and made it somehow mysterious. Like, why would a young woman travel by herself to Belize? You know, they took the fact that she had a book in her apartment. Somebody had sent her a book on how to speak, how to make peace with the Taliban. They said, well, they're right there. That seems like reality wants to join the Taliban. They took things and they twisted them to make it look like, you know, she was this evil person. And they forgot to mention that reality received a commendation medal from the Air Force, that she had identified hundreds of targets, of enemy targets, that reality basically was all about, you know, volunteering for her communities. Reality's all about serving her country. You know, she served with the Air Force for 6 years, and then she went and she got this job with the NSA. You know, but they took things and they twisted them to make it look like she was public enemy number one, and she's not, you know. And even when you look at the document that she leaked, it was a service to us. It wasn't anything that would hurt us, you know. But yeah, they took, like, she had a savings account that she had $30,000 in, and basically they said, well, look, she's got the financial means to flee. Well, when you look at it, how far is $30,000 going to get you?
You know, another aspect of this, since you mentioned this whole, this attempt to paint your daughter as a terrorist sympathizer, you know, I think one of the prosecutors at her bail hearing actually said, quote, the government is not in any way suggesting the defendant has become a jihadist or that she is a Taliban sympathizer. So it sounds like you have people speaking out of both sides of their mouth, trying to paint her one way and then saying, well, we don't actually believe that.
Right. Yeah. And that's basically what it was. I mean, they spent like 8 hours building a picture of this woman who couldn't be trusted, building a picture of this woman who wanted to go and join the Taliban. And then at the end, they said, well, we're not really saying that. You know, and that was, I mean, if you read into the court transcripts, you just see, because I was there and it was so frustrating. I was so angry because, you know, them taking her knowledge of Middle Eastern languages and using that against her and saying that she could, they told the judge, Your Honor, she could be used. She has a lot of intel information in her head right now, and she could be an asset to our enemies, you know, and they made it seem like at any moment, yes, reality would go and join the Taliban. And then they say at the end, well, we're not trying to paint that picture of her. But that's all that they did for 8 hours. You know, it was as her mother sitting there, it was terribly frustrating, and it was heartbreaking to see how they destroyed her whole everything that was good about her. They broke it down and destroyed it.
Well, and the other thing is, and I want to make sure, because it sounds like they were also, as I said, trying to push this idea that she had other classified information. I take it that's also just a really way out claim that they were trying to smear her with.
Right. At first, they indicated that, you know, we needed to deny her bond because they didn't know. They needed to do a complete check of all of her, of everything that they had seized, her cell phone, her computer, things like that, because they were certain that they would find more things that she had, you know, that she could possibly leak or hurt our country with. Well, when it came out, when they did all of the searches, they found nothing more. They found absolutely nothing. But they still didn't release her. And then they made the argument that she had worked for the NSA for like 4 years during her 6-year Air Force term. And they said, well, Your Honor, she has a lot of information inside of her head. So for that reason, we can't let her go. So does that mean that Reality Winner can never be let go because she has a lot of information inside of her head? You know, she worked for the United States, you know. So, yeah, it was just to us, this has just been a real eye opener as far as how our government works and how they can totally destroy a person when they want to.
It seems nightmarish to me. When is Reality Winner sentenced? How does that come about?
Reality actually changed her plea to guilty in July. And then she went into court and she formally changed her plea to guilty. And then she was sentenced in August 23rd, and the court sentenced her to 63 months in prison, and with then she'll serve 3 years of probation after her release from prison. And then, of course, she'll have restrictions for the rest of her life.
And this was August 2018, so this was going on for a year.
Yes. Reality was kept in a small Georgia jail for the entire time, this entire duration. And during her jail time, she was deprived of proper nutrition. She was deprived of medical care. She was deprived of any kind of psychological care. Reality was attacked while she was in jail. She was injured while she was in jail. And she was deprived of contact with her family and friends during that time period. There were times when they withheld her mail from her for long periods of time. They just think about the most horrendous conditions, and that's where Reality was kept during that time period.
Well, you know, that to me is the real clincher to this story in a lot of ways. Regardless of what people think of claims of Russian collusion, how much validity there is to those things, the issue is we have a whistleblower that has just been horribly mistreated. I don't care what you think about the politics of Trump and Russia. I mean, Reality was just sort of, you know, thrown to the wolves and was intimidated and treated horribly. And I want to stay on that time in jail and how she was treated. Was there anything? Could you go into a little bit more detail about that? The treatment there. What services weren't really given to her? I know there were, services with regards to mental health that were denied to her. Could you talk a little bit about that if you're comfortable with it?
Yeah. Reality suffers from depression and some anxiety, and she's also been diagnosed with bulimia. And Reality has always followed a special diet. She's vegan, and she's also kosher. And so when she got to jail, of course, they had no idea even what that was. And so basically they at first told her, you know, they did not have the ability to provide any kind of special diets. And so Reality was basically, eating what she could, but most of the food she couldn't eat because most of the food was, animal based. And of course they had no fresh fruit, no fresh vegetables. Our group had to work with a local church there in rural Georgia they were able to provide the jail with fresh fruit at times. And so we would do fundraising and then give the church the funds so that they could provide fresh fruit for the entire jail. But that was only happening like maybe on, you know, a monthly basis. So once a month, Reality would get fresh fruit. The other time, she basically was living off of oatmeal and peanut butter and potato chips.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What's... What gets my blood boiling about it is, and you've written about this, you know, on December 18th, 2017, the court allowed Paul Manafort, you know, who is in the middle of this Mueller investigation and being tried, he gets to travel to the Hamptons to celebrate Christmas, while your family is just celebrating that Reality was able to get fresh fruit as a gift from the local church. I mean, it's amazing how Reality is treated compared to people with more privilege at the end of the day.
Right. And that was, I mean, that was one of the, you know, one of the most striking cases at that time period. There were several others that were going on at that time, Papadopoulos and Gates. But for me, I mean, it totally made me sick to see, you know, how the difference in how Reality was being treated, and then you see this Manafort. And we see that over and over again in Reality's case, how people with power and people with money are treated so differently from people without, you know. And yeah, the day when I saw that Paul, you know, the day that I saw Paul Manafort was getting, you know, this special access to go to the Hamptons for Christmas, that was the very first time that Reality had gotten fresh fruit from that church in Georgia. And so here we were all happy and celebrating because Reality actually had apples and bananas. And then I turn on the news and I see, oh, Paul Manafort gets to go and spend Christmas in the Hamptons with his family. And when you just, I mean, contrast her case with his, compare it. Here we have a man who had multiple passports. Remember, they found multiple passports, which is in and of itself is a crime. Reality's passport was taken by the FBI when they interrogated her. Here we have a man who has millions of dollars. He's got multiple homes. He has spent tons of time in other countries. Here we have a woman who had $30,000 to her name, who has never traveled outside of the United States except for one time. She's denied bail because she's a flight risk. He got bond. He's wearing an ankle monitor. He's able to spend Christmas in the Hamptons with his family. Reality, by this point, had already been in jail for 6 months, deprived of nutrition, deprived of medical care. She's a flight risk. He's not. You know, you just look at it, and none of it makes sense. None of this makes sense at all. How is it that he gets to spend Christmas in the Hamptons with his family, but Reality is deprived of any kind of rights whatsoever? You know, when she was in the jail in Lincolnton, our visits were between glass. We were not able to touch her. Our visits were for 30 minutes. You know, I mean, it's so heartbreaking what she went through.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't touch a nerve at all. I understand how you're feeling about it.
I mean, this has been such a nightmare. People do not understand how our government persecutes the little man and they go after somebody. And I mean, it's not just Reality. It's other people in her situation. You have no rights if you have no money in this country.
Well, you know, the other thing, if you're able to talk about it, I've also heard that, as she said, Reality is a very conscientious person. I believe she's actually advocated for other inmates and has just done a lot of work with the communities throughout her lifetime. Could you talk a little bit to that, if you're okay with that?
Yeah. I mean, as I said, Reality has always volunteered within every community that she's lived in, even through, you know, grade school and high school. She's always volunteered for different programs within our community, and then she volunteered for Athletes Serving Athletes and the Samaritan's Purse, veterans organizations. And I mean, she was also one that she advocated for the Dakota Access Pipeline. She actually made an appointment and went to her senator's office to talk with them about climate change and issues that were important to her. She's always, you know, taken action to make this world a better place. And yeah, within the jail system and the prison system, she's always advocating for somebody else as well, asking us to help out other inmates, making other inmates, you know, making sure that they have what they need, and sharing what she has. She's a very good person. Reality is selfless. She does not worry about herself. She worries about other people and wants to make sure that they're okay.
Well, I wanted to ask, because I don't think many people have talked about it, but one of the things that really impressed me about your daughter was her sketch artwork. It's really beautiful. Kevin Gostola was telling me she actually did a sketch of Nelson Mandela. I saw she did a little Buddha picture. Could you talk a little bit about her Reality as sort of a creative person? Her artwork is really wonderful.
Yes, and you're going to have to excuse me. My dogs are outside and they're going crazy over something. So yeah, Reality is a very talented artist. Can you get Gary and ask him if he can? I'm trying to get my husband so that he can quiet them down. Anyway, yeah, Reality is a very talented artist. Even in high school, she was doing, she does oil paints, she does drawings, and she's, in high school, she actually did an oil painting of Nelson Mandela. Well, when she was jailed, what she was doing was she was sending people her artwork. She would sketch them a picture and then send it on a postcard. And one of her friends, a supporter, actually compiled these. He asked everybody to send him, you know, what they had received from her. And he's actually put it on a website called realitywinner.art. And he also put some of her sketch work up on Redbubble so that people can purchase merchandise with some of her artwork. And so if you go there, there's some very unique pieces. Like I ordered a travel mug, a coffee mug, and it has a picture that she sketched of a dog and a cat. But what happened is the jail staff stamped, they use a jail stamp over all of the outgoing mail. They actually stamped over her sketch. And so to me, it just made it more meaningful to see that, you know, basically they ruined everything, you know. They even had to ruin her sketch, you know, by putting the stamp over that. But I had to have that. And so if people want to go and check it out, it's at realitywinnerart.com. And then also you can go on Redbubble and you can put in Rewin, R-E-W-I-N. And you'll see some of the merchandise with her sketches. So, and yes, right away, I would say in July, she sent me two sketches. And one was of Nelson Mandela with a quote on the bottom, one of his quotes. And then the other one she did Martin Luther King Jr., which those, of course, are two of her heroes.
I was going to ask, it sounds like she would be a great admirer of people like Martin Luther King.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, those are her heroes.
Well, you know, I know we're short on time and we have to start wrapping up. I just had a few more things I wanted to briefly touch upon. One of the things that people have criticized Reality for or have tried to smear her with is that she's trying to manipulate the public image of herself and try to act like a babe in the woods and all of this. And, you know, to me, it's ridiculous to say that she's not allowed to defend herself. She's not allowed to tell her side of the story. And by doing that, she's trying to manipulate how the public perceives her. How would you respond to those kind of just awful smears?
I guess I would challenge anybody to really find out some factual, real information about reality that is not good. Because everything that, and of course I'm biased, I'm her mother, but everything that reality has ever done in her life has been good. And so I don't know how people can say that, you know, she's trying to manipulate her image. I would challenge anybody to find something negative, you know, because it's not, you're not going to find it. It's not out there, you know. And I think we're trying to keep everything out there. We're trying to keep her image out there. Myself and some of the supporters and people that work on the campaign. Because we don't want America to forget that she's there. And I think that her story is worth telling. I think that her story is important. I mean, here you have somebody who did a public service. Her leak was a public service to us, but she's been persecuted to the fullest. So.
Well, she was, you know, she's often been called the first victim of the Trump war on whistleblowers. And, you know, it's amazing. I believe Trump even tweeted at one point saying, you know, reality winner gets a long sentence, but what about Hillary Clinton? And yet, you know, has he done anything since then to remedy this situation? I don't see it.
No, he has not done a thing. He has not done anything. And in fact, I tweet at him and I try to get his attention and try to remind him, you know, that he's the one who said that her sentence was unfair. I mean, he did. He came out and said, this is unfair. And so try to get him to remedy it, because he is the only one who can release her at this point. And I've written to him and I've called the White House. And just yesterday I received a letter from the Office of the Pardons, because the White House has referred my letters to them. So basically the White House is tired of hearing from me, and they referred me to the Office of the Pardon Attorney.
I guess on that topic, I feel like the media in our country and a lot of people that claim to be fighting for the truth have sort of failed us on this account. I know Julian Assange defended Reality Winner initially, but he's gone silent. We have people that are shedding light on the topic, people like MSNBC's Chris Hayes. Could you talk a little bit to the media coverage of this case and whether you think it'll start picking up more steam in the months to come?
Well, I hope so, but I'm not going to hold my breath. What we've experienced throughout this entire time period is, you know, when she was first arrested and the DOJ did their big press release, there was a lot of media, but it was all like sensationalized. It was, oh my gosh, her name, you know, her name was made fun of. And they did go with the DOJ's narrative that, you know, she was a spy, you know, things like that. And then this entire time, the last, you know, 21, 22 months, we've been trying so hard to get the attention of media, but it's been hit and miss. It's, you know, they basically only cover anything when something new is happening with her case and, you know, when there's something interesting to report. I loved what Chris Hayes did. I thought that was fantastic, you know, how he compared Manafort's treatment to Reality's, Manafort's sentence to Reality's. I'm so grateful for him for doing that. But many nights I sit and I listen to Rachel Maddow, and I think at any given moment she could insert Reality's story, but she doesn't. And it's very frustrating, because I think that Reality deserves more narrative in today's news than what they're giving her. So I hope that they do. I hope that, you know, they continue to spotlight her case. I can only hope, but we try to do whatever we can to get their attention.
Well, you know, I mean, just on this issue, to me, the issue is, this was a woman who, you know, at the end of the day, I don't care if what she did was, in a technical sense, illegal. I think she was trying to be an ethical human being that was trying to get the word out about something that mattered to the country. And that's why I'm actually very tired of hearing people try to frame this in a legal sense. This is a matter of right and wrong.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. And so, and that's why I do. I get frustrated when I see, like, Manafort's case and Reality's case. I mean, really, you can't even compare the two of them. But it's a matter of, you know, he did everything for selfish reasons. He did everything to get rich. She did everything to sacrifice. She sacrificed herself to give us information that we needed to protect ourselves. And it is a matter of right and wrong. You know, and Reality herself has asked the question, you know, do you do the right thing for the wrong reason, or do you do the wrong thing for the right reason? You know.
Well, it gets my blood boiling when I see someone like Papadopoulos get 14 days in prison. And you know, I feel very sorry for the situation that you guys have been going through, because I can only imagine how difficult it is. I can't put words to it.
Yeah, it is. It's difficult. It's been, like you said, it's been a nightmare for us. And we just, I don't know when we're going to wake up and it'll be over. You know, I want her home. I want her free. You know, every day that I wake up, it's there. It's looming over us.
Well, I'm just curious. What can my listeners do to help stand with Reality as the campaign goes?
Yeah. Well, we do have a campaign. We have a website. It's standwithreality.org. The campaign has been kind of inactive and dormant for a while, but at this point we are in a stage of kind of rebuilding. And so if people would just visit the website, and if there's people who want to reach out and contact us through the website, if you're interested in being a part of the campaign, absolutely, we would welcome people who know how to build a website or maintain a website, people who are interested in helping with fundraising for the campaign purposes. Also, I mean, if you just want to write to Reality, we post her address on the website and on our Facebook pages. If you want to write to her, tweet about her. I have a Twitter account, Billy Winner Davis. You know, follow me, follow Stand by Reality on Twitter, and tweet about her. Keep her name out there. Write to your congressman, call your congressman. That's another area where we have not been able to get the attention of anyone in Congress. We write to them, we call them, and, you know, I don't understand what it takes, you know, to get our representatives interested in Reality's case to do something, you know, to at least look into it, to ask the questions. Why is she serving the longest sentence? You know,
how long is her sentence again?
63 months. Yeah. So it's 5.3 years.
Well, you know, I always like to, let my listeners, leave on a positive note. As I say, do you think there's any positives that could come out of this? I mean, obviously, you know, your girl is she's a very tough cookie. And I don't think, as much as they've tried, they haven't broke her spirit. And I commend her and your family for not going down, you know, due to this.
Right. Yeah. And there are a lot of positives that have come out of this. Number one, I mean, Reality stood up for what she felt was the right thing to do. And she took action when no one else would. And Reality is very strong. She is doing well. She is, you know, at FMC Carswell in Fort Worth, Texas. So she is in Texas. We are able to see her. We are able to have long visits with her and to actually hug her. Reality is taking college courses at this point. She's working two jobs within the prison system, and she's back to teaching her fitness classes. And she really enjoys hearing from people, and you know, her spirits are good. She's doing good. She's a strong girl, as you said, and they're not going to break her. So, and they're not going to break us either. And I've got to say, for our family, you know, this has changed our lives drastically, but there's also been some really good things that have come out of this. People are so good out there. They're so supportive. And we have, our family has grown. You know, we've come in contact with people. We've had experiences such as going to New York for the play and meeting new people and meeting people from all over the United States who are very, very supportive of reality. And it's really been, that has been a good thing for us.
Well, I was going to say that there was just a few days ago, there was a song released about your daughter, actually called Reality Winner by Sun Volt. So I feel like the word's getting out there.
Yeah, it is. That song, I heard that song yesterday, and I really like it. It's nice. There's also another song that was written by a man in Corpus Christi. His name is Tom Whitehurst Jr., and you can look him up on YouTube, and you can watch him perform that song. So there's two songs so far about Reality Winner.
Well, and I hope you know, there needs to be documentaries, a biopic one day. We need people need to look up to this brave young woman, because she's a hero.
Yeah, I thank you for saying that, because I do believe that she's a hero. So, and I do believe that she's a patriot. You know, I believe that she has done whatever she can to defend and protect her country.
Well, and on that note, I'll just say I think she's going to keep standing up for what's right. And I hope the best for her and you and the rest of the family. Thank you again, Billy Winner Davis, for coming on Parallax Views.
All right. Well, I thank you for having me.
Well, that does it for this edition of Parallax Views. I'd like to thank Billy Winner Davis for coming on the program to tell us about the just ordeal that her daughter, Reality Lee Winner, has been put through, blowing the whistle and shedding light on something that she believed the American public needed to know. Regardless of what you think of Russian collusion claims, the treatment of Reality is just horrendous. So please, if you can, visit standwithreality.org and offer your support. And also, if you enjoyed this show, please remember to like, share, subscribe, retweet, get the word out there on social media. And if you're feeling generous, feel free to contribute to the Parallax Views Patreon page. And with that being said, until next time, you've been listening to Parallax Views with Parallax Views. To Parallax Views with Parallax Views.
The way out is not simply to say, don't do it, just to prohibit. It's nothing else. If we don't do it, others will be doing this like crazy. So, you know, we have to confront the problem. But no, basically, I know of the great anxiety problems, new forms of control, but it's also new forms of freedom. This is why I always emphasize that internet and all this new digital stuff, it's a very ambiguous phenomenon, but it's the field of struggle. New forms of enslavement, but at the same time, new incredible forms of freedom. We have to accept the fight with no nostalgia for old, allegedly more authentic communities or whatever. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.